Welcome to Off the Charts, the Horse Racing Stakes Picks podcast. This is episode 42, and I'm your host, Dave Ginsburg, with expert horse player Steve Duckhorn. How you doing, Steve?
I'm doing good, Dave. How you doing today?
I'm trying to survive all this rain that we've been experiencing here in Chicago. It's this last couple of days have been pretty drenching, hasn't it been?
It is. I'm sitting here in my office at home and looking out the window, and this might be the first time in the last 48 hours that I haven't seen raindrops falling from this window. So, Dave, at least at some point yesterday, I thought I was going to have to go out and build an ark and get two of every animal. And
so that means this weekend's racing at Arlington is going to be, who knows how the track's going to be. So,
yeah, well, you know, that's the nice thing about the Poly track is that it's always fast. But I'm sure knowing Arlington, they won't be racing on the turf probably either Saturday or Sunday. So, anyways, Dave, we've got a few races to cover here. Yep. And, not a very big menu of stuff, we're going to go through it.
All right, let's dig in here. Make sure you're visiting our website at offthechartshorseracing.com. At the top of the page, find all the links and the ways to listen to us. They're all there at the top. We got our bases covered. Make sure you take a look at our Facebook group as well. That link there is as well on that page. And all kinds of other stuff that's available on our website. You can ask Amazon Echo to listen to us. If you say Echo Play Off the Charts Horse Racing on TuneIn, you'll hear our latest episode. And be sure you're following us on Twitter, and we'll be talking about Twitter in a little bit here. It was a very interesting week. Off the Charts HR, we know people are following us. Make sure you're following us as well. Steve posts any late changes or maybe even some other picks he finds. We're over 10,000 downloads. That's pretty incredible, I must say. And we really appreciate you listening to us. Last week's episode number 41 was over 400 times. Again, we can't thank you enough for listening. So this week's agenda is a review last week. He had five stakes races that happened. There'll also be a horse neck segment. And actually, the segment will be on Twitter. So we had some interesting discussions on Twitter this past week. Steve will give you his insights. And then, like Steve said, a short list of races that we'll be handicapping this week. We got a race at Arlington Park, a race at Thistle Downs. That was a surprise one. And at Santa Anita. So with that, let's talk about last week.
Yeah, Dave, so just a real quick review. We handicapped five stakes races last week, and we had one top pick winner, but that top pick winner did pay $15.60. Yep. For the listeners that have decided that what they're going to do is just play our top picks every week, those folks made money. And overall now, Dave, we've had 231 stakes races handicapped, 106 top two pick winners. So 45% of the time, the winner can be found in our top two picks. And just, you know, just for clarity, the 45% is not an ROI on betting our top two picks. It is just the win percentage, right, of taking 231 races and making the statement that we've had 106 top two pick winners. All it's pointing out is that it's close to 50% of the time that the winner of the stakes race it comes from one of our top two picks. That's it.
All right. That leads us right into your horse nugget segment. And you wanted to talk about Twitter. There was some interesting comments last week over Twitter, and when you want to put out your views on that as well as other things relates to that. So go ahead, let us know.
Yeah, Dave, this is just going to be a short segment, I'm interested in interacting with folks on Twitter, and
yeah, me too.
People certainly can ask me anything that they would like to ask. As you were tracking stuff with me on Twitter, on Sunday and Monday and kind of after the racing on Saturday evening, I just think it's important for me to make the point that nowhere on these podcasts that you and I do I tell people how to play our selections. I try to give what I think are three, right, three good picks for every race, and whether people play exactas, trifectas, use the top two picks in multi-win race wagers, however people play the selections or use the selections, is up to them. I certainly have received texts and comments back from some of the followers that we have who are people that I know, friends that I know, who have taken our second pick and really liked what I said about our second pick and turned it into their only pick. In fact, I can remember a race that Johnny Velasquez wired a field about a month ago. And one of my buddies texted me and said, "Hey, that was great commentary you made on that horse." And actually I wound up keying that horse. And, and really that's always been the intent of this podcast was to be educational and for people to take the information that, that I try to give out and use it. And nothing brings me more joy than when I hear from folks who take some of the angles and some of the handicapping styles that I've spoken of and apply it to other races, not just stakes races, but other races and tracks that they're at or off tracks that they're at and hit, you know, I know that you had one off an angle that I had given you that you texted me. I had another buddy do the same not too long ago. That stuff brings me a lot of happiness. So I just want to make clear that there's nothing in these podcasts where I'm saying better top two selections, you're going to make money. I wish it was that easy.
Yeah, me too.
If it was, I would quit my job.
Yeah. You and me both.
But it's not that easy. So it's good to listen. It's good to track my commentary around the races by having the racing form, in hand as I'm going through the information and hopefully you'll pick up a thing or two that'll bring you some value. You know, I had someone on Twitter actually send out a tweet where they took our third choice in that big stakes race at Churchill last week and bet the horse to show that Matru, that long shot I gave out as my third selection.
Yeah.
That horse paid $26 to show. So,
there you go.
And what I'm going to do when we have some success or when we've identified a nice winner, I'm going to tweet it out. I mean, after all, Dave, I tweeted out a $15.60 winner. That's not a small potatoes.
No, not at all.
Odds horse. You know, that Pavel who was in the biggest stakes race of the night of the five races. You know, I was pretty proud of that selection. And that horse paid $15.60. And that horse was 9-1 when the race went off and wound up, I blinked my eyes and looked at my computer. The thing was 6-1. So, yeah. Had I had the one winner out of the five, one top pick winner out of those five stakes races and had that winner paid $5, I never would have tweeted it out as a winner. I certainly am not trying to exaggerate our success and I have no reason to. No one's paying for any of this.
No.
I don't have any sponsors. You and I don't have a website where we're charging for the picks.
Right.
So really, I just I was proud of that pick. I thought that was a really good pick and it paid $15.60. So I tweeted it out.
Sure, why not?
And then did have a little bit of a commentary around my mention of Christian Helmer's tweet about Baffert and Justify and some of the questions that Christian Helmer, who's a top handicapper, was on that handicapper show. I mean, this is not a nobody. And I thought it was interesting, some of the things that he said. As I said in my retort in the email, on the tweet, I'm a Baffert fan. Anyone who knows me, anyone who's listened to these 42 or so podcasts know that I, of all the trainers that are out there, I probably like Bob Baffert the best, both from a capability standpoint and from a personality standpoint. But when I find interesting things on Twitter, I retweet them and send them out. Certainly they're not, when I want to express my opinion, I will. Those are not my opinions. When I retweet things, they're just things I find interesting.
And I'm the same way. I mean, we both are monitoring the Twitter account. So, when I find something interesting, I'll retweet it as well. So it's, that we both share the wealth of wanting to put out the information that's out there that's related to the horse racing world. I mean, it was an interesting tweet. I mean, there's no reason to make a big deal out of it. So
correct. So anyways, Dave, I want our listeners to get on Twitter. I like having dialogue. I don't mind questions. I, 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 to be honest, Dave, I do mind accusations. That bothers me when I get accused of things because, again, we're doing this for free. And not only are we doing it for free, but the whole intent, always the intent of this podcast was to be more educational and to be a pick, to be only a picks podcast. And I mean, I know that we say that's the Stakes Picks podcast, but really at the end of the day, Dave, I'm trying to pass on some of the knowledge I've gained over the years. I'm going to win with or without this podcast. And you know that I make money at the racetrack. So, and have for years. So anyways, Dave, a little emotional about it. Absolutely. Because, you know, we do our very best here and I certainly put a lot of time, energy and effort into trying to make these selections. So, I can probably get off the soapbox now and I can get into talking about some of the races that we've looked at.
And I'll add just a few of my comments. You know, unfortunately, there's a lot of all the good things that Twitter provides. There's some bad things. I mean, a lot of trolls out there, a lot of people who decide they want to cause trouble and cause issues. And that's fine. And there's a place for it. I mean, it's experienced by everybody that's on Twitter. We're doing this podcast because you and I both enjoy it. And I've learned a lot. I mean, by no means will I say I'm an expert. I'm here to... we both have a good rapport here on this show, and that's what we love doing. And I've been successful with picks too. I mean, I'm learning from what you're picking, and you know, like you said, I've picked other angles too and learned from what you've taught me. So I mean, that's what it's here for. We're here to enjoy and understand how horse racing works, and not just like I said, you could sit here and run through 20 races and just do picks, and you know, anybody can do that. That's not what we're here for. We're here for your entertainment, but for us to be able to provide you what you enjoy, and that's to finding out about what's all about horse racing. So, again, like you said, let's get off our soapbox here, and then let's kick into some of the handicapping for this week. So interesting three tracks you've picked this week. Arlington, of course, that's not interesting because that's our home track. But Thistledown, I never thought you'd pick that track out in the Cleveland area. But, of course, that's a big race this weekend. And then the last one will be at Santa Anita. So let's start at our home track, which is Arlington Park. And you decided to do the ninth race. And of course,
it's the eighth race.
Eighth race, yep. I'm
yep. Happy. That's okay.
Computer malfunction here.
Okay.
So as we move into our pages here, let me switch over to Arlington because that's where we're having problems here. So we have picked too many races. You picked too many tracks. I got all the forms open here. All right. So we're going to go to the eighth race here.
Yep.
Eighth race. It's a 7-furlong race, and it's a grade three. This is the Chicago Handicap grade three. It's a purse of $100,000. That's a pretty good purse at Arlington.
It is.
For fillies and mares and three-year-olds on upward, and looks like a good field. So go ahead and give us your picks.
Yeah, Dave. So my top selection in this race, the horse I've been tracking for quite a while. I think this might be a good spot for her. I'm going to make the one horse Marquis Miss our top selection in this eighth race at Arlington on Saturday. Ingrid Mason trains, Chris Amy's the jockey. This horse is 10-1 in the morning line, Dave.
Nice.
This horse looks like it's going to show some early speed and maybe lone speed from the rail. Certainly has sprinter speed, been in a much shorter sprint races in its career. You can see a number of those 5.5-furlong, 6-furlong sprints where it looks like the horse is either on or near the lead just about every time. I like the jockey change to Chris Amy, though I do like Mitchell Merle as a jockey. It's a couple nice workouts there at Arlington. One of them, a bullet workout in 46 for 4 furlongs, which is a really nice workout on a synthetic track. So let's try to go wire to wire, Dave, with the – and I like Ingrid Mason as a trainer, as you know. So I'm going to make the one horse Marquis Miss at 10-1, Dave, our top selection in this eighth race. My second selection in this race, Dave, is going to be the 5-horse. So on our notes here, Dave, change that 2-horse to the 5-horse.
All right.
My second selection is the 5-horse. The 5-horse is Princess La Quinta. Princess La Quinta is trained by James Gulick. Sophie Doyle, she's having pretty nice meet out at Arlington as the jockey. This horse is 4-1 the morning line. Have circled a few things here. This horse has raced 5 times on synthetic, 1 4 times, 88 buyer. This horse a 4-year-old filly. Improving buyer speed pattern, 83 off that layoff from Tampa on the 4th, and then bumped that up to an 88 off the off that effort on the 19th of May. This James Gulick, who's a longtime Chicago trainer, is not missing many steps right now. He's a 42% trainer out there, Dave. He must That's have big. Some magic elixir he's using on his horses, because they're really running well for this guy. So let's make the 5 horse, Dave. Princess La Quinta, our second selection. And our third and final selection, we're going to go a little bit to the outside. We're going to pick up the 11 horse, One Liz, Wayne Catalano. The Catman is the trainer. Jose Valdivia is the jockey. This horse is also 10-1 in the morning line. Take a look at that synthetic track record. 7 starts on the synthetic, 5 wins in a second, 93 buyer as a top buyer. This horse is 3rd off the layoff. 7-year-old. I don't really care for horses as they get older, as you know. But this horse sure looks, not only is this horse won 5 times and 7 starts on synthetic, but they've all been at Arlington. So this is a horse for the course, and getting 10-1 on the morning line with Catalano as the trainer. I think I need to put this horse in there, Dave. So at Arlington Park on Saturday, the 8th race, graded stake. Our selections, Dave, are going to be 1, 5, and 11.
And I was wondering why you had the 2 horse, but the Corey Nakatani's in town for that race. So
he is, Dave. And you know, I had one of our buddies text me not too long ago, asking me to make some commentary every once in a while around some of the lower priced horses that I didn't include in my selections as I'm kind of going through these. So I can make a couple mentions here about Nakatani's horse. Right. One of the big things for me is, you know, how good is this thing going to be on synthetic, Dave? These synthetic tracks are not dirt tracks. And no, so not. This thing's going to get over bet. Mick Ruiz, you know who Mick Ruiz is. He's the guy that trains Bolt Doro. He's the guy that took Nakatani off Bolt Doro. and hasn't raced well with the horse since. And, you know, he and Nakatani are showing up here in Chicago. Certainly this horse has got, got good breeding, purchased for $375,000. But if you believe the notion that, you know, horses that are bred for the turf also do well on synthetic, and a lot of people believe that, you know, 197, Tomlinson for turf. And I happen to know that it's got a low Tomlinson for turf because Union Rags is the sire of my horse as well. So my horse is not bred for the turf either. So, so that's why I took Union Strikeout. So,
no, yeah. I mean, and I think a lot of people, when they see that the people come from out of town, especially Corey, if he's coming in for a race, that seems kind of interesting. And then the bettors will see that. And then that's why you said the odds will go way down just because of that. One of the main reasons. So,
yep.
All right, let's move on. And you are also picking a race at Thistledown. And Thistledown, it's a big race here. It's the Grade 3. It's the 84th running of the Ohio Derby. This is a mile and an eighth. It's $500,000, and it's for 3-year-olds. Go ahead and give us your picks.
Yeah, Dave, so I selected this race, you know, purely because it is for 3-year-olds, horses that were on the Derby trail. These will be recognizable names for most of the listeners. And I get to make a comeback on how much I like to make comeback plays on horses that I've selected before. So in this 9th race at Thistledown on Saturday, I'm going to make my top selection, Dave, the 7 horse, Diamond King. Yeah. Diamond King's trained by John Service. Going back to Frankie Pennington as the jockey, 6-1 in the morning line. If you remember, I picked this horse on top in the Preakness. And this horse got bumped and really didn't do much on that, you know, god awful slurpy of a racetrack on Preakness Day. So this horse looks like it's set up for a nice bounce back, and we get 6-1 in the morning line with a with a top trainer and going back to the jockey who's had the most success, hit all four wins. Frankie Pennington's been aboard. So we're gonna take a chance here on a 6-1 shot, Dave. Let's make Diamond King our top selection in this Ohio Derby. And then our second and third selections, we're going to go to some of the obvious. So our second selection will be Flame Away. Mark Cassie trains Jose Lascano's the jockey, 5-2 in the morning line. This horse raced in the Kentucky Derby, obviously on another soupy track. I don't know how the weather is going to be in Ohio over the weekend, but certainly this horse has raced well on off tracks as well as fast tracks. Yep. Nice record, 10 lifetime starts, 5 wins, 2 seconds. Cassie laid this thing off a little bit after the Derby and is now coming to try to capture the $500,000 Ohio Derby. Certainly a logical pick to put in our selection. So let's make Flame Away the 2 horse, our second selection. And our third and final selection, Dave, here is going to be the 3 horse. The 3 horse is Lone Sailor. Tommy Amos trains Irad Ortiz, the jockey, 3-1 the morning line. Been on sloppy tracks the last 2 times, raced in the Derby, raced in the Preakness, skipped the Belmont. Couple of really nice bullet workouts over at Churchill coming into the race. Horse has only won 1 time, though, Dave, and that's broke its maiden. That's the only win this horse has had. But this horse has raced good and up close and a lot of big races against a lot of good horses. Yep. I would expect a good effort here, especially coming off those bullet workouts. So let's make Lone Sailor our third selection. So at Thistledown, race 9 on Saturday, Dave, the Ohio Derby, our selections are going to be 7, 2, and 3.
Okay. Then we'll move over to Santa Anita. This is not a stakes race, but it's a 1 mile. It's a 40K, what is it, Dave,
it's race 11. My bad on the notes.
I see you threw me off here.
It was late last night when I started
wondering why you didn't do a great stage
race. I handicapped all night.
All right, and, let's start
and,
over
and
here.
And then when I had to put the notes in late last night, I must have put in race 7, but it's race 11.
All right, so let's.
Which is a stakes race and is graded. So.
All right, yes, it is. This is now the 11th race, 7 furlongs. It's a grade 2. It's the 80th running of the San Carlos, and it's $250,000 for 3-year-olds and upward. Now give us your picks.
Yeah, Dave, this is the part of our podcast that people enjoy, though. This is, you know, there's no rehearsal here. I mean, I do my handicapping. We go through the show notes, and we get on, we do the podcast. So
what's here for?
When they start paying us, triple figures to do this,
we'll be more professional.
We'll spend a little bit more time making sure this thing runs smooth as silk. But for right now, what's smooth as silk has been our picks. And at the end of the day, that's the most important thing. So I'm not going to go too far in this race from the obvious. Let's make the 4 horse, Dave, American Anthem, our top selection. Baffert trains, Smitty rides, 9-5 in the morning line, second off a layoff. Had a nice effort off the layoff with Le Peru as the jockey, which is really not his specialty, horses on the lead. Won relatively easily there at Churchill, just a nice tune up for this race. Not too concerned about any bounce factor here since this horse has, other top buyer speed figures in its past performances. So there's probably a whole lot more left in the tank after that that last effort. And, we don't need to talk anymore about Baffert and Smith and what they can do together. So we'll make the 4 horse, Dave, American Anthem, our top selection in this race. Our second selection, Dave, going to try a little bit of a price shot. Let's try the 1 horse top of the game as our second selection. Ryan Hansen, who just claimed this horse, as the trainer. Gary Stevens, the jockey. 15-1 the morning line, Dave. Drew the rail. Significant equipment change. Blinkers on. Hasn't had blinkers on in quite a number of races there. I think that last line in the past performances, it looked like this horse has had blinkers on, but hasn't had them on in quite a while. Love Santa Anita. 7 times on Santa Anita's dirt track, 4 wins, has thrown a 104 buyer speed figure in there. as a top speed figure on the dirt at Santa Anita. Did that last year. Going to get a nice cozy rail trip with Stevens, and well-timed move. Might turn this thing into a winner at a really nice price, especially if American Anthem falls apart. So let's make the one horse, Dave, top of the game, our second selection in this race.
No, and first time Stevens.
Yep, first time Gary. And our third and final selection, Dave, going to be the six horse. The six horse is Touching Rainbows, Phil D'Amato trains, Flavian Pratt's the jockey, 5-2 in the morning line. This horse is third off a layoff. This is one of those horses that threw in a 99 buyer off the layoff, bounced to a 95. And if you remember my bounce nugget segment last week, I like to come back on those horses off the bounce because usually they'll come back and produce a number more like the one that they produced off the layoff. This horse has got a little bit of speed, also has some stalking speed, so can sit right outside American Anthem. Maybe Flavian will take this thing in a lane. So let's make the six horse Touching Rainbows our third selection, Dave. So in Santa Anita's 11th race on Saturday, our selections are 4-1-6.
All right. Let's go ahead and wrap this up. Make sure you're visiting our website at offthechartshorseracing.com. There are all the links there to listen to us and take a look at our website and listen. Twitter, make sure you're following us on Twitter, OffTheChartsHR. We'll have any podcasting updates, race day changes, and other picks. And we welcome all of your comments and anything you'd like to tell us. Please get out on Twitter, OffTheChartsHR. Also, if you want to ask any questions through email, we have an email address, questions@OffTheChartsHorseRacing.com. With that, any more closing comments before we close this up?
No, Dave, I think our comments speak for themselves. I enjoy Twitter. I'm on Twitter a lot, and certainly I want to have the dialogue. It's nice that the podcast gives me a chance to elaborate beyond the 140 characters or whatever Twitter is these
280
days.
Now.
Yeah, that's great.
All right. With that, thanks for joining us. Good luck and good racing.